episodes, today's message title is Creating Momentum Through Kingdom Partnership. Creating momentum through kingdom partnership. And so we've defined momentum as a force or energy that happens when someone or something moves forward. It is power released when movement is made. And so my goal today is to show you how momentum can be created when you and I participate in kingdom endeavors. So let me start out by asking a question. This is a serious question too, and I want you to think about it. Here's the question. What is a soul worth? What is a soul worth? Can we put a value on a person's soul? When I say soul, I'm talking about a person's life. If we could put a value on somebody's soul, here's the question. What dollar amount could we put on somebody's soul? What value could we put on someone's saved soul? You say, well, Pastor, I don't know if there's a value that we can put on it. Well, I'm going to tell you what the value is of a soul. The value of a soul, watch this, is the death of Jesus Christ. In other words, a soul is so important that Jesus decided to die for one single soul. Even though he's died for many souls, if there had only been one soul, Jesus would have still died for that soul. Say amen to that. So to put things in perspective, I want you to hear this now and I want you to feel what I'm saying. The money and the resources that it takes to operate our church cannot be compared to the cost of one saved soul. And let me say this. We reported that 1,803 people made a commitment to Jesus Christ in some way. That's baptism. That's getting saved. That's through going through rededication or joining our church. But out of that, almost 100, which to be exact, 96 people gave their life to Jesus Christ for the very first time last year. You know, there are some people that ain't even getting saved in churches these days. So what I want to do is briefly share with you why you and I should invest our time, our talents, and our treasures into the kingdom of God through word of truth. So here's the first reason why we should, is that God expects us to invest. Everybody say God expects us to invest. And we've heard this verse I'm about to read a zillion times, but it stands still true today. God expects us to invest in his house and in his kingdom. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 in the Amplified says, bring all the tithe, which is the tenth, into where? The storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And then God says, test me now in this, says the Lord, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you so great a blessing until there is no more room to receive it. Matthew 6:19 reads now, which we're going to stay in context. I'm just going to show you through Matthew chapter 6 that God expects us to invest. What's interesting, something happened in the third service last week that I've never done in my life. I felt an unction to challenge some people who weren't tithing. That if they, I said, this is what I told them. I said, that thing came on me so strong, I've never done this. I said, if you're not tithing and I can't afford to tithe, my bill's too high, I don't have enough money. I said, if that's you and you're not doing it, come down here, and if you're tithe for a month, if God ain't done nothing in your life, I'll give all your money back. And I watched these people come down here, right? So we took all their names and stuff. Because, see, I'm confident that God will do what he said he will do. He said, test me now. Everybody say now. So Matthew chapter 6 verse 9 gives us a perspective on what it means where God expects us to invest. So listen to what God says. Jesus was talking to his disciples and to a group of people. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on the earth. Why? Because that's where moth and rust does corrupt. And this is where thieves break through and steal. And you know, this is why, you know, you can put your money in a 401k, but depending on how the economy goes, you can lose all your money. Right? He said, no, don't just put your money in natural things where thieves can break through and steal. He says, watch this. But in contrast to that, he says, lay up for yourselves. Who am I laying this up for, church? He said, for me, lay up for yourselves. It didn't say lay up for the church. It didn't say lay up for, he said, lay up for yourselves. Watch this, treasures where? in heaven where neither moth nor rust does corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. See, listen, church, God wants us to lay treasures up in heaven. Yeah, and you may say, well, how in the world do we do that? We do that by investing into kingdom efforts. See, the problem is most people are so earthly minded, they're no heavenly good. We lay up treasures in heaven, watch this, by giving of our time, our treasures, and our talents into kingdom efforts through our local church. And in this case, it's Word of Truth. And notice now, because verse 21 was so powerful, he says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, which brings us to point number two, which is my treasure reveals where my heart wills. My treasure reveals where my heart wills. In other words, what I'm saying is where I invest my time, where you and I invest our money, where you and I invest our talents, listen, those areas, especially in the treasure area, reveals where our hearts are. Matthew 6:21, he says, for where your treasure is where your heart's going to be. So our hearts determine, listen, the direction of what we value. Verse 21 is saying, if you want to find where your heart is, just follow your treasure trail. You can say that you love God and trust God, but have you moved your faith from just saving faith over to living by faith? See, a lot of people have saving faith. That was just faith to get saved. But my question is, have you made a decision to live by faith? Because the Bible says the just are the ones that's going to live by faith. And when you and I live by faith, the Bible says it pleases God. God expects us to invest, but most people don't realize that their hearts decide where their time and their treasure and their talents go. That's not something God does for us. We have to make that decision. We have to partner with him. And let me say this to you. This is the only way I know to go, because I've been doing this for years and I've watched God make what was important to me important to him, because I made what's important to me what was important to him. Which now brings us to our third point, and I'm almost finished here. And that is, in order for us to create momentum through kingdom partnership, you and I, you must, well, watch this now. You serve who you prefer. You serve who you prefer. Matthew 6:21, we're going back to that. This time I'm reading out in the New Living Translation. It says, where your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. He says, your eyes like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, listen, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one, everybody say no one. Look at your neighbor, say that includes you. He says no one can serve how many masters? He didn't say three masters. He didn't say four. He didn't say five. He says, listen, nobody can serve how many? Two masters. He says, for you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and you despise the other. Read this with me, church. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. And most people, watch this now. It's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And here's the sad thing about the love of money. You can love it and not have none. Some of the most brokest people love money, and the reason why they're struggling is because they love it more than they love God. You say, wow, I don't love money more than I love God. Well, what do you do with the money he gives you? That's the proof. So if we can't serve both God and money, which one are we serving? Here's the question. Which one are we serving? It's the one that we prefer over the other one. God wants to partner with us as we become, listen, co-laborers together with God. Church, let me tell you something. God is spirit. And if he's going to get something done, he's got to use you. He's got to use our hands. He's got to use our feet. He's got to use our finances. He's got to use our resources. That's the only way it's going to get done. He wants to co-labor with us. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, for we are laborers together with who? With God. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 in the NIV. It says, as God's co-workers. Listen, you are God's co-worker. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is God created us to do good works. He wants to use us to do that. And those good works that God wants us to do shouldn't start outside of his house. It should start in his house. Do you know the church is the only place that God said that regardless of what hell tries to bring, he says the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. He didn't say the gates of hell wouldn't prevail over Wall Street. He didn't say the gates of hell wouldn't prevail over your job. He didn't say the gates of hell wouldn't prevail over the Fortune 500 companies. He said, no, the only institution that will not be overtaken by the gates of hell is the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what we are members of. Ephesians 2, I'm closing. It says, for we, touch your neighbor, say, use a we. We are his workmanship, and we've been created in Christ Jesus, watch this, to do good works. What kind of works are we designed to do? You have been created to do good works, and that's why you will be miserable your whole life until you start doing something for God. A chair was created for you to sit down in it. Listen, a speaker was designed for you to hear from it. A microphone is for you to speak from it. And just like those different things were designed for a specific use, you and I have been created in Christ Jesus to do some good works in the kingdom of God through your church. For we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art, created in Christ Jesus. We've been reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set so that we could walk in them. Walk in what? Walk in those good works. And as a result of walking in the good works, listen to what he says. You're going to live the good life which he prearranged for you to have. How many want to live the good life? That's what I'm talking about. Which now brings me to point number 4. And that is, when you seek, you will reap. When you seek, you reap. In other words, there is a reward. There is a blessing. There is a benefit to putting God's kingdom first. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. But watch what else it says. And that he, God, is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. That word rewarder means one who pays wages. God will pay you to seek him. That's crazy, ain't it? There's a reward. Everybody say, when you seek, you reap. So we left off at Matthew 6, 24. So I'm going to read it and then we're going to close. It said in Matthew 6, 24, we cannot serve God and mammon. So let's continue to read what it says. Verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, stop being worried or anxious perpetually. I'm talking to somebody right now. Stop being worried or anxious, which is perpetually uneasy and distracted about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink or nor about your body to what you will wear. Is life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the field or the air. They neither sow seed nor reap the harvest nor gather the crop into barns, but yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth much more than a bird? He says in verse 27, and who of you by worrying can add 1 hour to the length of your life? And why are you worried about clothes? See how the lilies and the wild flowers of the field grow. They do not labor, nor do they spin wool to make clothing. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory and splendor was dressed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, Word of Truth Family Church, which is alive today and green, but tomorrow will be cut down and fuel into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Watch what he says. Therefore, do not worry or be anxious, perpetually uneasy and distracted, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? For the pagans, unbelievers, Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. He said, but I don't want you to worry about that stuff. Why? For your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But if you just seek first, most importantly, and aim at and strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude of the character of God, all these things will be given to you. Man, the cheat code to life is putting God first. I said the cheat code to life is putting God first. So I want to challenge you to put your money, your talent, your treasure, put it where you say your heart is. So here's how we apply this. What is God challenging you to do today? What is he challenging you to do? Is he challenging you to be a better steward? If he's challenging you to start giving, is he challenging you to start serving? What is he challenging you to do? That's number one. Number two, you can't taste God's goodness until you try his goodness. Psalm 34 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, because when you do this, watch what he says, for there is no want to them that fear him. Here's number three. Act on your faith and start or keep giving of your time, your treasure, and your talents, because we have so many people in this ministry who have committed their time, their treasure, and their talents to serve here. And I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart, and thank you from the heart of God, because of what we do here at this church, we have people getting saved, people recommitting their life to Jesus Christ, people getting baptized, people making commitments to Jesus Christ. And it may seem normal to you in this church, but I'm telling you, church, it's not normal. Go to your mom and them church and see. I'm throwing some shade. They put one chair down here. Is it one? How many grew up with that? Is it one? And then one didn't even come. We had 1,803 that came. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap. So I went over by 3 minutes. That's all right. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, because the vision here is to know Christ.